Chapter 5. I begin to fight. A week later, my family arrived in Pretoria. I invited all the Indians in the city to a meeting. Things must change in the Indian community in South Africa, I told them. If you want better lives, you must first be better. You must tell the truth in business. You must forget all your religious divisions and become one group. And you must learn English. That's how Indians can get respect. Please become our leader, they asked, and I agreed. A few Indians began to study English with me. I worked very hard with them, and I never let them be lazy. The first thing I did to change things was to write to the railway. To my surprise, they listened to me. They agreed to permit well-dressed Indians to travel in first or second class on the trains. This gave me courage to do other things. I also made the same demands on my family as I made on other Indians. I insisted my two sons, Harilal and Manilal, wear knee-length coats, long western trousers, and closed shoes. I also forced my wife and children to eat with knives and forks. The boys hated these changes. They said their feet smelled in their closed shoes, and they preferred to eat with their fingers, according to the Indian custom. Sometimes I interfered in the management of the house. This made Ba very angry, but I considered myself her teacher. A Hindu wife, I said, sees obedience to her husband as the highest religion. A Hindu husband sees himself as the lord and master of his wife. At that time, I was a very Hindu husband, and Ba was not a very happy wife. I often invited friends to stay in our home. I refused to pay servants to do the housework, so Ba and I did the cleaning. She didn't want to clean for all of them, but I insisted. More than this, I insisted she did it happily. Ba cried and refused to listen to more of my orders. This is the work of the untouchables, the lowest class of people in India, she said. I'm your wife. I became very angry and said, I will not have this conduct in my house. Keep your house and let me go, she shouted. I took her hand, pulled her to the gate, opened it, and was going to push her out. How can you do this? She cried. Where will I go? I haven't got parents or relatives here. Behave yourself and shut the gate. The neighbors can see us. Suddenly, I understood I was doing a terrible thing. I became angry too quickly, and this was bad for everybody, especially for my family. From that moment, I decided to teach myself to be calm and behave well with everybody, especially with my wife. At the end of the year, my work for the Indian company was finished and I was ready to leave. My friends made a party for me. At the party, somebody gave me a newspaper. When I read it, I learned about a new law in the country. My friends didn't know enough English to read the newspapers, and they weren't interested in politics, so I explained the law to them. Indians will not be able to vote for the government anymore. Do you understand the significance of this? It's the end of any opportunities for Indians in South Africa. You must fight this. Then you must stay and help us, one of the merchants answered. So, instead of a goodbye party, we started to work immediately to fight this new law. I wrote hundreds of letters to important people in South Africa, Britain, and India. I also sent petitions to their governments. I wrote articles to newspapers and organized public meetings. Many people listened to me, but in the end, the law was passed. But one good thing came from this fight. I finally found the courage to speak for my people. I wasn't shy anymore. I made mistakes, but there was nobody else to lead this fight. I said to myself, "You must do this," and I did it. The life of the Indians in South Africa was very hard. Unlike the South Africans, they were forced to carry special identity passes. They were brought to the country by agents of European farmers to work in their plantations. They were told stories about the wonderful life there. The agents paid for their boat trip, their rooms, and food, and gave them money each month. After 5 years, they received a free boat trip back to India. But many of the Indians wanted to stay in South Africa and live a better life than they lived in India. According to the law, they could stay if they wanted to. But the Europeans didn't really want them, so they asked each person to pay a tax of £3, and this was a lot of money for a farm worker. Because of this tax, it was almost impossible for most Indians to stay in South Africa. Barr was ready to return to India, but I knew there was still a lot of work to do in South Africa. In 1897, our third son, Ramdas, was born, and Barr was very busy with the family. I decided to start an organization to help the Indians, and many people joined it. I called it the Natal Indian Congress. I wrote to politicians and newspapers to explain the problems of the South African Indians. As a result, important newspapers wrote many articles about them. I took a short trip to India, and people listened to me, supported me, and tried to help. But when I returned to South Africa, I was nearly killed in the streets of Durban by angry Europeans. They were sure thousands of Indians were going to come to South Africa to live. I didn't just fight for the Indians. I also thought it was important for them to be good citizens of their country. So in 1899, during the Boer War, I organized an ambulance corps of 1,100 Indian men to help the war effort.